This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
This is the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 567, brought to you by GoDaddy. Buy your own domain name, build your site, or use any of GoDaddy's business tools. Visit trygodaddy.com/ifanboy to save 30% on your order. And iFanboy listeners just like you. Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 567. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm alongside my hosts.
It's just it's weird now.
Like, you almost feel like Michael Ian Black, and I was like, where's he going with this? I'm alongside my hosts.
My hosts, Ron Richards and Josh Flanagan.
We're not actually alongside you. We're virtually alongside you, but we're not physically next to you.
Or emotionally at this point anymore either.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
We are iFanboy. Every week we read a bunch of comics. One of us picks their favorite book and call it the pick of the week. We talk about that book, other books from the week, the patron pick, maybe some listener mail, but not this week. It'll be fun. And here's your spoiler warning. It's a review show. Suck it up. There'll be some spoilers. Exercise some caution. Use your head. This week, Josh...
It's just getting antagonistic now.
Well, yeah. I was thinking, you know, listeners are pretty lucky that that is sort of the apex of the resentment that comes out.
Right.
It's just a little sound in the spoiler warning. You know, it's a friendly go screw. You know, that could be a lot worse. I don't know what it is. No matter how well it goes or how many people like you, you will eventually resent them all.
I think we should do a show one week where we don't use spoilers and people can hear how boring that show would be.
I think there's a week where we should go overboard with the spoilers and spoil everything.
Do you remember that week that we did every book we read?
I do remember that week.
That was awful.
Ron's favorite show would be one with which he could summarize every book he read. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go between the lines there.
All right, Josh.
Pick of the week is Southern Bastards, number 16. How did we ever get here? It's been more than 16 months. I know that much.
Way more.
This is like the second regular issue in a row. Is that right?
Yeah. They're catching up. Like, they're in the process of catching up now. So
yeah.
Has it only been a month? Because I had a hard time remembering what happened in the last issue. I feel like it's been way more than a month.
Yeah.
No, I think it's been more than a month. I think it has.
All right. Well,
here's the thing. I don't care. I'll give them a pass.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Yeah.
I do and I don't. I literally could not remember what had happened in the last issue. And it took me about half the issue to remember that. That's a problem from a reader standpoint. And I get why it happens, and I don't fault them necessarily. On the other hand, it's difficult to really enjoy the book when you have to spend most of the time trying to remember who everyone was and what's happening.
But it was a standalone issue for the most part. You know, like Coach Boss is at sort of this new impasse. His assistant coach is dead. He is,
not a standalone. It's part two.
Well,
part one was when.
You could pick up this book and get what you like without knowing all the backstory, you could get the idea of what's going on. The coach of the other team is worried about losing, so he visits the other team's best player and beats him up. Like, you're right, Connor. It's part of this storyline, but I didn't struggle. You know, like, I think you can hand it to somebody, they get the gist of the story that's being told.
Sure, totally.
Yeah. Also, I mean, what they won't get, though, is that when he shows up in that kid's room ready to cross a line that even he had not crossed before by beating one of the opposing players, who really laid it on thick about how much he respected Coach Boss, by the way. Longtime readers will immediately notice that he is wearing pants. That is quite a signpost.
Well, a man wears pants to a beating, Josh.
Well, does he? Is that a rule?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the formal guide. It's, you know, you serve from the left and you wear pants to a formal beating.
The culture of the South is so nuanced that it can be difficult to sometimes see all of these signs.
So we meet Coach Boss's counterpart in the other county, who looks kind of like Stan Lee.
And drives a Cadillac on the
phone. He's with Stan Lee. I could see that. I went Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like now Burt Reynolds, like skinny Burt Reynolds.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yep. Or like 80s Stan Lee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. He has a monkey.
He does.
A monkey.
We don't talk about the monkey. The monkey's just there.
I'll give it up for Jason Aaron and Jason Latour. I mean, like, every time I talk to Jason Aaron about this book, he always has to remind me that the book is called Southern Bastards for a reason. And like, yeah. and that I love just how awful the people depicted in it are, and it really is this whole fascinating world that I just Latour brings it to life. I can't imagine any other artist doing this.
Absolutely, and also to compare it to The Goddamned, this book is a delightful romp through some lovely people's homes.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all. But I hate to do this about it, but like, when you get an issue where you're really focusing on the guy who's more or less the villain, but you watch him struggle with it and really have a rounded character, because we know Ulysses Boss's history, it reminds me of what was great about Scalped and Red Crow and that kind of thing. And that always gives me like a warm feeling. And that's, I think, a little bit what happened with this issue, is that it doesn't humanize the character, it doesn't make you like the character, but like Jason Aaron is really, really good at creating a fully fleshed bad guy.
And especially now that they're going into some sort of gang war, because at the end,
yeah,
the other guy, Stan Burt Reynolds Lee, his guys show up to shoot.
That guy, he looks like Bruno Mars in the future, right?
Yes. What's actually interesting is I'm looking in the letters page, and there's an actual discussion of whether or not he looks like Stan Lee or looks like Burt Reynolds.
Yep. Look at that. You really are good at this.
But so now it looks like we're getting into a gang war scenario, which is fun, and which was, you know, does call back to the times of Scalped, because really, this book has not been, it's not as clear cut crime, gangland stuff that Scalped was. So now we're getting back into that territory a little bit.
Yeah, and we've still got the sort of the time bomb of the daughter hanging out in the background there, where we're kind of waiting for more to happen with that. But, you know, like, I really enjoy spending time with sort of Coach Boss and his thugs and his little entourage, because they're really interesting characters. They're all bad, horrible bastards, but they're interesting, you know. And the twist here at the end of these two guys who come out and roll with that spoiler warning, by the way, roll tide with that spoiler warning,
roll tide.
You know, these two guys who come out and they shoot a couple of guys in his, like, that's a great. It's just like fully automatic weapons because of a high school football rivalry,
or because, well, or is it that, or is it the meth they're growing?
It's all of it. I mean, like, it's all related, you know.
Yeah,
we'll find out. One grew up because of football, or was it because, you know, the other guy's also a drug dealer? Who knows?
Right. I mean, it's just something. There's a lot at stake here under the guise of football, you know, which,
and
I find.
It doesn't matter who gets killed, because they're all awful, so you can just let it go.
Right, just let it roll.
Except the kid who got beaten.
Right. Yeah. Who, I give it up for the kid who gets beaten, breaks his leg, and then still finds the energy and I mean, to talk about being a man and stepping up for his team, still plays in the game and is able to deliver a tie score. So
Ron, why won't you watch Friday Night Lights?
I don't like.
Why won't you watch Friday Night Lights, Ron?
I don't like football because it's not. I don't like football.
It's the same. It's the same here. It's the same.
Do you like meth dealing?
More than football, maybe.
Listen, the monkey's driving that car.
Exactly.
That's all I have to say. Also, continuity error on the cover. Coach Boss is wearing shorts.
Oh, there it is. No prize.
No prize award for me.
That's not a continuity. That is a subtle signal. That's just for the new readers to understand.
I think the dog agrees with me.
This is symbolically what should be happening, but he's wearing pants, so you should watch it.
In his heart, he's always wearing shorts.
Under his pants, he's always wearing shorts. He's ready for game time at any time. So what you're finding is that this is another great issue of this, and it's difficult to elucidate on sometimes because we've talked about it so much. But this was the pick of the week because it was excellent again. And because it's kind of spread out, it is a special thing to see those red covers. Oh, Southern Bastards is here.
Right.
All right. I save that. I'll hold on to that.
I mean, the thing is, it's the kind of thing like when I saw it came out this week, this was one of the first books I read because of that. Like the red cover jumps out, and because maybe this is the shipping schedule has been, and because every issue is such a delight and such a wonderful detour, you know, and if you ask me, getting a monkey that drives a big Cadillac, a yellow Cadillac, is the greatest gift you can get. So,
So you haven't watched Friday Night Lights, and no. Unless I'm mistaken, you haven't read Scalped.
I read the first two trades.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen Smoking
Bandit? What's wrong with Friday Night Lights?
I just don't like football.
Have you seen Rocky?
Yes, I've seen Rocky.
How do you all right, come boxing? On.
Let's not go down this road.
This is not an indictment of my tastes. We'll get back to this later when the show's slow
down. We will.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm shocked and surprised because I would have bet $20 to donuts that All-Star Batman number 6 would have been your pick of the week, Josh.
A couple of things going on there. Slightly changing tastes. I really like Jock's work. I always have. Jock on Batman. It's a thing we've seen a bunch.
Yep.
I am not 100% invested in this storyline.
This is a reunion of the Detective Comics team. So you got Jock and Scott Snyder, and you got Francisco Francavilla on the backup story.
So that's all good.
Important to note, Batman's snowsuit has bat ears.
That's
always
important
on
to note.
Point. He's always on point. He puts nothing on his head unless it has the resemblance to a bat.
Literally on points.
Double points. So you don't like Jock anymore is what you're saying. That's what you're saying.
No, I do, but... Like, I don't know. I read it. It didn't really stick with me all that much. I didn't find myself thinking about it very much.
I didn't love this.
I think I don't really care about Mr. Freeze that much.
Well, I think it's the snowblind Mr. Freeze kind of, you know, polar, you know, North Pole kind of setting. But also, much like a book later on that we're going to discuss, unconventional, but non-traditional superhero comic. Right. Where, you know, where this was very Snyder prosy. Right. This actually I mean, it reminded me more of Witches than of Batman.
Yes.
And by not having the standard kind of word balloons and all that sort of stuff, the typography was kind of different. It felt like one of those special issues, you know, like a nice little diversion. I thought the art was beautiful. I love Jock. Give me a Jock on a monthly comic book. I mean, I think that's wonderful. But it did get a little long in the tooth.
I think it was a whiplash from the tone of the first arc, which was very grindhouse
speed.
You know, like everyone was. It was like a Transporter. What was that movie you loved, Ron?
Oh, Transporter. No, it was a Crank.
Crank.
You love Crank?
Sort of crank grindhousey kind of feeling where everyone is on, you know, adrenaline rush. This was more of a quiet. Well, it's not to say quiet, but it was a different tone, the way of
and I had gone right from 5 to 6. I read them right in a row because I was catching up.
Right.
Let me tell you about Crank. I got into a big argument. Not a big argument, but me and a friend of mine like Crank, and we were talking to somebody who didn't like Crank, and it got heated. So, anyway, go on.
Let's get back to Friday Night Lights.
Is Friday Night Lights at all like Crank?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's exactly what you're
except not.
Except not at all.
How do you feel about Kyle Chandler?
He's the guy who died in the Boston movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Boston movie.
Manchester by the Sea.
Oh.
Not a spoiler, by the way, like people.
Guy, right?
Save your emails.
Not a spoiler. It's in the trailer. It's in the goddamn trailer. But we gave a spoiler warning. So anyway. But anyway, yeah, so All-Star Batman.
By the way, I want to bring this to people who asked me on Twitter. That was my favorite movie of last year. The one that I said I didn't want to go see.
Yes.
There you go.
So there it is. I actually thought the standout of this issue was probably the Francesco Francavilla art, which I really like.
In the backup?
Yep. I just thought it was really great to look at. That sort of first page that is all sort of broken up. And there's like a theme of like extra grids going up throughout the pages, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah, the crossword puzzle. I liked the Riddler's human crossword puzzle thing on the building. It was that kind of wacky sort of Silver Age-y, but also... you know, more terrifying because it's a modern age trope, but it was nice. Yep. It was a weird issue. I liked it. I love Mr. Freeze. I think when he's handled well, he's a great character. He's the focus of the best animated series episode of the entire show. I mean, he's a great character. I didn't have an emotional connection to this issue. I think I need to reread it.
I think you're right in that it really was like the brakes being jolted on after that last story.
Right.
I think that's it.
Maybe they could have benefited from like a one shot. I know this is like a bunch of like anthology-esque tales. Maybe it's just like,
so
like
basically
a palate
you
cleanser.
Went from first track on the album being like a real barn burner, and then the second one's like a slow ballad.
Right. Yeah, that's a great analogy, Josh. Yes, yeah. I
that
agree.
Song goes third or fourth usually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is six, so yeah.
And the side one.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't start side two with it. You don't start side two with this. Yeah,
this is only track two.
Oh, I see. Oh, so you're going the storyline, not issue numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Fair enough.
Great cover though.
Yep.
Yeah. Really
I mean, cover. I think it's. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's
not,
Snyder
not bad,
and Jock.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually made me want the next issue, the next arc of witches more. You know. So. Anyway.
Mm. More witches.
The witchening.
So Green Valley number four. This was a story, it's from Max Landis and Giuseppe Camicoli. It is gorgeous to behold. Just want to go ahead and point that out. It looked like it was starting, at first it was like, oh, this is not going to be supernatural, and then it felt like it might be. And now what we learned in here is there's a sort of time traveler thing going on.
Yeah, we met him last issue. He's modern, clearly. I really like this.
Yeah, I think I do.
I love... It's kind of a very Max Landis-ish thing to do. Let's try to spell that thing I just said. in that, you know, you've got these badass warriors, and we're finding out slowly or may not be as badass as everyone thinks they are. And they're fighting this guy who everyone thinks is a wizard, but is actually just a time traveler with modern technology. And he has his dragons, but they're actually just raptors that he brought from another time. And I love the fact that there are actual raptors with the plumage and the colors that now scientists say they look like, which pop culture in general seems to be afraid of. But I like that. They think they're dragons. They're not actually dragons. They're raptors, but they would look kind of like dragons. Velociraptors.
I don't know that he drew. I like what you're saying about the plumage and the sort of design of them. I don't know that he drew the best raptor.
That's fair. I just like the fact
that they're a little like dead-eyed. I in my work with a 2 and a 6 year old boy in my life, I come across a lot of dinosaurs, and I was like, eh. I did not immediately recognize it as a raptor. I just sort of put that together.
They only said it. I didn't either because they were so big. But it says it in the letters page.
Yeah. No, you could see the big hook claw thing. Although that's not even consistent.
The hoof.
What? That's actually interesting. If you look at a sort of the last page. He's got that big toe slicey thing that Dr. Alan Grant told us about in 1993.
And when he scared the child?
Yeah. But then earlier, he does not have that. That is not consistent. It's
maybe
not on all
retractable.
The feet. It's not.
Okay.
Their legs are too skinny. It's not.
Anyway,
he needs to work on his velociraptor anatomy.
This
is what
fun,
I'm
saying.
Yeah, that's actually why I put this on the list, because I liked it a lot.
The whole series has been fun.
That's, I mean, yeah, no, I think this has been a pleasant surprise, and that it's, you know, and again, you know, Max Landis, as outlandish in person and on social media as he is, you know, he's got, if you ask me, his last two comics works between this and the Superman one were great. And you know, he say what you will about his personality and the way he is, he gets story and he gets, you know, I mean, he already established himself as one of the best pitch people I've ever heard tell, you know, pitch an idea, but now he's delivering. And I think that's great. And this is the kind of comic that gets me excited about comics, because it's not like anything else that's out there. So,
And it's a 6-issue mini, so we're getting close to the wrap up.
Yeah, the end. This is the end.
I think that's fine. With I don't dragons. Need this to go on.
Yeah, no. Titans number 7, Ron, did you read this?
I did not. I dropped off this.
All right, so in Titans is one of the.
Should I have?
I think so. Titans is one of the few books where they're still slowly investigating or mentioning the Rebirth storyline, you know. Because Wally West is in this book. And so this issue, drawn by guest artist Lee Weeks, one of my favorite 90s
gorgeous
artists, who can draw He's the great. Fuck out of Superman, by the way.
I downloaded this just to look at the stuff and do the script, and I was like, this is a great-looking book.
Yeah. He can draw the hell out of Superman. But so Superman, Wally and Donna and Roy have a little opening crime. They stop, and Superman shows up to help, but too late. But then he decides he's going to do the traditional Flash Superman race. But it's important because Flash and Superman are the only two people from the old universe. So this is their first meeting since that rebirth.
Do they know?
Yeah, they talk about it through the race. Like, you know, he knows Linda. He knows that Wally's supposed to be with Linda. He knows, you know, what, he actually remembers all this stuff. And I they could have hit it a little harder. In fact, it's you know, you'd think there'd be a lot more questions, a lot more discussion about where the hell are we, what the hell happened. But it was a nice little bit between the two of them. Like, you know, we are old friends. The rest of these people are kind of weird strangers, and we know each other. So that was cool. The other thing that's happened is that the Titans are building their Titans Tower in Manhattan because they were fighting Abracadabra, and the Abracadabra, who claimed to have been the one to remove Wally from the timeline, and their psychic person read the word Manhattan in his head, and so they thought they had to be protecting Manhattan because something was going to happen there, not knowing that they actually meant Dr. Manhattan. So
that's a costly mistake.
Yeah, well, they used Atlantean technology, and it was pretty easy. Although, in the great DC tradition,
I just mean real estate prices.
Yeah, well, they built it on a fake floating island in the middle of the river. I don't know what the logistics of that. But in a great DC tradition, that whole storyline is mostly having to do with permits and lawyer paperwork.
Oh, that's fantastic!
Great. Yeah, so this issue overall was pretty great between the Flash and Superman race and the DC lawyer stuff is pretty spot on.
Now I have two questions.
Yes.
Having not read it, but I'm looking through it.
Mm-hmm.
That villain at the end, that's Simon? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Not a Brainiac or anything.
No. Or Lex Luthor, look what he puts the skin on.
Yeah,
no.
Okay. Two, what's the deal with Roy's head?
Yeah, the hat?
Yeah, and the glasses. Is he supposed to be a douchebag?
Yeah, Roy's always kind of been a douchebag, but like the hat needs to be burned and the concept needs to be forgotten.
For sure.
There's no reason to be wearing a backwards baseball cap with a superhero outfit. None.
And it's like a snapback. It's not even fitted.
Yeah, no.
I wonder, it's funny because we're not talking about this week, but are either of you reading Occupy Avengers?
Nope.
Okay, well, because Joss, it features your favorite character, Hawkeye, who now, his costume is now a ski cap with a black ski cap with a purple H on it. And it looks awful and it should be burned.
Ron, that's pretty stupid sounding.
Yeah. Well, no, it's real stupid looking.
Does it look stupider than it sounds? Because it sounds really stupid.
It looks pretty stupid.
All right, on a glowing spider scale.
It's probably, if a glowing spider is a 10, mm-hmm. right? And and Electro's costume is a 1, is one of the best costumes of all comics.
Electro. Wow.
Original Electro. Yeah. Yeah. The green and yellow with the star face, right? Yeah. It's an 8.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would make Roy a 7.
Okay.
Connor had pointed out earlier that they're sliding Superman's costume further and further down that line.
Oh yeah, I know. I saw.
I would I like this rating system, by the way.
I do too.
I don't know that I would agree with your best costume ever. That would be Taskmaster. But
Taskmaster's a good one. I mean, really, there's, you know, you can have a bunch of people in that one zone. I mean, Electro, Taskmaster, Jim Lee, Nighty, Cyclops.
Whoa,
right? I mean,
there's
lots of say what you will. That's a great costume.
All right.
Head exposed.
Hair exposed.
Hair blown in the wind.
Pouches. There you go.
What is in those, pouches?
Original Thor, yeah.
Great issue, though. If you're a Wally West fan, this is an issue to read, Ron.
All right, fair enough. Okay. Yeah.
I'll check it out. I'm going to check it out at some point. I'm not committing.
Sure.
I want to check in on Invisible Republic. Issue number 14 is out. Gabriel Hardman and Karina Becko with colors by Jordan Boyd. I think that I was starting to lose track of this a little bit. There's a lot going on, and it's not in. Incredibly spoon-fed.
There's a lot of names they shout out. Like,
you know what? That being the case, I really thought that this issue got me sorted.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I know where I'm standing now. I know sort of what's going on. I finally learned what's that dude's name? Oh, I was about to say I finally learned his name.
Kind of undercuts your whole thesis there.
Bab.
I'm not confirming or denying anything.
The writer, the journalist guy who's sort of been involved with it. And I realized, like, I didn't know his name at all. And they said it over and over and over again in this issue. And I was like, that was very helpful. Thank you. I really liked the backstory with Maya. And I liked sort of, I understand where we are in the present at the same time. And I just dug this issue a lot. I like the beast dog thing that they have and the sort of story of her. In the past, sort of surviving on her own, pregnant, and then there's a twist at the end that's related to that story that we didn't see coming. I really dug it. This was my runner-up for Pick of the Week.
I find myself really interested in the flashbacks.
I would say yes.
That's when I'm the most interested in the book. I find myself really struggling with the stuff happening in the present, quote-unquote present.
Right, but the way that this issue is set up, though, is that they had sort of, I don't know. They set the table a little bit for where we are in the present now that I felt I had a little better handle on it. It's really complicated. I thought this wouldn't work as a TV show because you'd need really smart people to follow it.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like I'd be worried they'd have to dumb it down because this, they don't have to dumb it down at all. And you have to.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. No, I love Gabe and Karina's work. This book continues to be awesome. So
gorgeous.
All right, so real quickly, we want to thank GoDaddy for supporting iFanboy in this episode of iFanboy. GoDaddy gives small business owners the tools they need to name their idea, build an online presence, and attract customers. And come on, you've been on the internet for years. As long as we have, you've heard of GoDaddy. You know how they are the largest domain registrar with more than 62 million domain names under management and over 14 million customers worldwide. In fact, many of you probably are GoDaddy customers. I am.
I am.
I am too. I made it sound like three people there, but it's just the two of us. They make registering domain names fast, simple, and affordable. And in addition to domain names, they make it easy to build a website and an online store. So if you've got an idea for a site, for some sort of website, GoDaddy is a place you want to go where you can do everything. Their drag and drop website and online store builders make it as simple as updating your Facebook page to make your site. And if you want something more advanced, they also have DIY platforms and website designers that are available for hire. And of course, as always, you can count on their award-winning 24/7 support team. GoDaddy wrote the book on being a great spot to buy domains and host websites, so they're totally dependable, and they're the people that you want on your side. They offer web hosting that grows your business, web security products, online marketing services, and professional email that matches your domain. Their online marketing services include search engine visibility, local business listings, and email marketing. So whether you have a new idea or an established business or you just need to get online somehow, the key to online success starts with a great domain name. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to find out why so many people choose GoDaddy as their domain name registrar, and you can save 30% on your order. Just go to trygodaddy.com/ifanboy. That's trygodaddy.com/ifanboy. trygodaddy.com/ifanboy. And as always, we thank GoDaddy for their support.
Didi.
Beady, beady, beat.
Diddy Mao.
Power Man and Iron Fist 12.
I like it.
It's a good book.
Good book.
And this has been our go-to of like, what book should we be reading right now? You know, this is top three for all of us to be like, oh, you got to check this out. This is the really interesting thing that's going on at Marvel.
It's consistently good. It like, and the thing is that I'm not sure it's my pick of the week every time it comes out.
Sure.
But it's on a scale of 1 being Electro and 10 being Southern Bastards. It's always up there in the 7-8 range. So sometimes
yeah,
9.
So. I actually wanted to specifically mention this one. I really liked the table. I just used this, but like everything is all set now. Like we know who all the players are.
We've met their names.
We've met these different sort of ex-criminals and criminals and sort of what's going on in Harlem and the different teams. I really enjoyed the like they all end up in the building and Tombstone, you know, twists everything around. And the fact that Luke isn't the reluctant guy anymore. Like right. He's all in now. They've got their team now and they have a job. And it's, you know, they've got their mission.
And I like that Alex Wilder is the bad guy from Runaways.
Yep. Yeah, I do like that. That's awesome. So,
and it's like how cool. Sanford Green, you know, doesn't look like anybody else is anything that's going on. It just all the characters that have human faces are distinguishable and interesting and kind of ugly in the good way.
I'd like to point out in an episode we've been all over the place verbally. I really want your pull quote to be, it doesn't look like anybody else is anything. I fanboy. It's a good one.
Moving on, I read the Flash 14. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to talk to Connor about this.
It was awesome.
It was great. Good smart move. Smart move to go from the really heavy Godspeed storyline that feels like took an eternity.
Yeah.
Right. And then with the I hate to say the shady shade storyline, like the dark, you know, kind of a bit darker. Like when you need a breath of fresh air, give me the Rogues Gallery.
The Rogues Reloaded. So what was great about this issue was it was, you know, it's the twist that I always have. But it's, you know, the Flash going through the Rogues and sort of the history of the Rogues in this new world. And he's looking, no one can find him because they left town once that Flash Storm thing happened. But really, they've been pulling the wool over Barry's eyes the whole time. And they sent him off on a wild goose chase while they're going to ransack Central City. And this was fantastic.
Yep.
Really,
it was great. Fantastic. Moving on now into the Bendis block.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. All right.
So Jessica Jones, number 4. Sometimes you get frustrated because you don't know what's going on, and then it gets revealed.
So I decided I didn't want to read this anymore, but I want you to tell me what happens.
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being Electro and 10 being Avengers Breakout. Now, basically, Jessica has a clandestine meeting with Captain Marvel and turns out, oh, she's working undercover for Captain Marvel and S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's why she's been acting erratically. That's why she's hiding the baby. But she can't tell Luke about it either. That's
because part of the undercover is they're trying to make it appear to the villains that they're trying to root out that she is a fallen Avenger, that she has fallen on hard times, and therefore she is accessible, you know.
But the one thing I did like actually was it's all rooted around the storyline from Civil War, in which Captain Marvel almost sent that innocent woman to jail, and now that innocent woman's gotten out and been like, "Fuck you guys, I'm bringing superheroes down." So I mean. It's outlandish in the best superhero way, but I like that it's tied into her big mistake from the Civil War 2 storyline.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, very good. I'm going to jump because segue of Civil War. Spider-Man number 12 by Bendis and Sarah Pacelli on art. Of course, the standard Sarah Pacelli art being wonderful. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being Electro and 10 being Jack Kirby, it's like a...
I like how in some of your scales Electro is the best and some of your scales he's the bottom.
Yeah, and also they're not, it's not the same thing. Like the scale is completely different every time. So Electro, instead of being a rock, becomes very erratic and I don't know what it stands for.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 being Electro and 10 being a corned beef sandwich.
In terms of saltiness, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. No, but so Spider-Man number 12 is post-Civil War, kicks off the new storyline, and I would like to propose everybody start the Spider-Man drinking game, where every time in this book he mentions Civil War, you have to drink, because it was like on every other page.
Yeah, well.
It was like.
Really annoying. To keep the characters in one goddamn universe.
Well, yeah, that too.
I don't want that.
It seemed pretty easy to send them to another dimension.
It's really getting, it's like, it's just a door now.
I'm telling you something. There are going to be some prolonged health effects that Miles Morales is not going to like when he finds out about them later.
And the
look
reason
you were dimension hopping all over the place.
Yeah, the reason why we say that is because this issue, Maria Hill sends him on a secret clandestine mission, and he's got to go over to Spider-Gwen's universe and makes out with her. So, I don't know if that's the mission objective, but
that was just on the cover.
That's just on the cover, right?
No, he did. Yeah. He said in the beginning, he's telling the story, because it opens up with him saying, you made out with her?
Wait, was this before or after the superhero Civil War? Oh, no. I had just finished the Civil War, and then I went to talk to S.H.I.E.L.D. because they were really busy from the Civil War. But I went to this dimension where they didn't have a Civil War.
So here's the question. Are you guys going to follow the storyline into Spider-Gwen 16?
Nope.
I will.
No. I'm undecided.
Okay, I will not.
Most likely not.
And then finally, wrapping things up, Guardians of the Galaxy number 16. Bravo to Bendis for doing something different, telling a Groot story of Groot on Earth in a very rhymy children's book kind of style. I did not expect this. I was really impressed. And really the only thing that was difficult about it was, and I don't know, just because I read this digitally, I don't know if it works better in print, but on a couple of pages, the white text on a white background made it illegible. But but I was able to get, that was only, that's only like 5% of the book. But this was like a picture book about Groot, and it was written not in a style I've ever seen Bendis write before, and I enjoyed it a lot.
So on a scale of 1 is Electro and 10 is Josh's handwriting, how illegible was it?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say 1 is Electro, 10 is Dr. Seuss. Children's bookie is it?
No.
It's probably like it's really just one page where it's bad, where it's very light at the top of the page, and there's white text with just a little bit of a black drop shadow. And I'll be honest, it's hard to read. So
Ron is in no place to talk about handwriting, so I don't want to hear
that. Well, I know. The thing is, you're 10, but Ron's 11. Because that scale goes to 11, that particular one. We'll take a quick moment to thank everyone who supports iFanboy, all of our great listeners and patrons and friends. iFanboy.com/support is where you can go do that. There you can find their Amazon link, and that's where you can do all your shopping. And once again, you know, we're still in January. Thanks to everyone who did all their holiday shopping through the Amazon link. It really did help, and we appreciate that. It doesn't take anything out of your pocket. It takes it out of Amazon's pocket, and everyone's happy. Also, on that page, there's a direct donation link to our PayPal where you can just donate a little bit of money. As Ron said last week, we got a lot of end-of-the-year straight donations from people, and we would thank you. It's not free to do this show, but we don't charge you for it, and it's hopefully entertaining, and hopefully entertaining enough where you can throw a little couple dollars our way, and everyone's happy. Also, another way to do that, patreon.com/ifanboy. That's where you can donate. We have a ton of great patrons. They're wonderful. They get all kinds of great rewards for being a patron, and they also unlock rewards that everybody can achieve. One of those being iFanboy t-shirts that have been unlocked, and we're actually going to have a meeting about that very shortly amongst us. We have a plan, we just need to implement it to make iFanboy t-shirts available again. Longtime fans will remember we used to do t-shirts quite a bit in the old days, and we're bringing those back. So thank you everyone who goes to ifanboy.com/support and to patreon.com/ifanboy, and we're getting too close to our Patreon rewards later in the show, and that's always fun.
Oh yes, so we got some powers to hand out like candy.
But first,
ratings.
Ratings.
You know it's nice.
Yes.
But
if Steve Orlando writes everything at DC, I don't have to change a lot of the show scripts we do. So I was like, oh, it's Steve Orlando again.
Well, he's writing all four of these Rebirth books, so that you won't have to do a league of work in the next couple of weeks. Justice League of America: Vixen: Rebirth number one.
I love the Collins.
Gene.
So, written by Steve Orlando and Jody Hauser with art by Jamal Campbell. This is the Rebirth story of Vixen, who, as you know, has a little amulet that gives her the powers of animals. This falls on the Rebirth scale of 1 being Electro, 10 being a story that tells you the origin of a character, basically tells you everything. If you've never read anything about Vixen, you can read this, and then you know who she is and what she's about. So
I thought very yeoman. Very yeoman. Like, it's fine. Right down the middle of the road. Like, last week's, I thought, was really surprisingly good and fun with the Atom. This was fine. I like Vixen fine. I thought this was a fine retelling of her origin. I thought the art was fine. I thought the writing was fine. I thought nothing was very stand out. Nothing really stood out. Nothing was really that bad. Yeah. I read it and I was like, that was fine. And I moved on with my stack.
Fine.
My stack.
I liked the art. The art was
fine.
Good.
It was fine.
I would go up. I would say it was pretty good. But okay. Everything else was fine. In fact, I would classify it as a whole as a comic book.
I think the art... Jamal Campbell also colored it. I thought it was a little Photoshop-y. You know, it's not the color style I like, so I think that the coloring might have colored my view of the pencils and inks.
I know what you're talking about. I really liked some of the compositions, some of the sort of body positions. If you look at, not the last page, you know what? Even so, like, there was a little effort to put in and make them interesting compositions. I know what you're talking about with the lighting and coloring, but it did kind of all work as a piece. That second to last page where you sort of see her flying away from the back and like she's kind of contorted odd. Like it was interesting to look at.
Yeah, no, the art was fine. It was good.
Yeah.
Fine.
I was actually kind of impressed by that because at least it didn't look... This was like there was an animated style that showed up a lot in sort of the mid-2000s that this kind of looked like.
Yeah, it felt familiar, and I think that might have been it. So yeah. Interesting.
And not a bad. It was really apparent for a while, and then it kind of went away. And I don't mind it in the right, you know, context.
Yeah, I mean this was fine.
Yeah, but the story, like that, the script was just it existed.
I mean, it was fine. It was. Vixen.
There's another
full
quote.
Yeah, this is .. fine ? Vixen is not a character I've ever really been passionate about, so I really had nothing.
Shows up every once in a while.
She's getting more play. She's on the Legends show. She had an animated. They have a digital only animated cartoons. She starred in one of those. She was on Arrow. They're using her more. Ron, on a scale of 1 being Electro and 10 being fine, where would you rate this?
This is fine.
Or just one to five.
Or just one to five.
Ratings. Ratings.
Three.
Yeah, three. It's fine. Middle of the road. Fine. Wasn't bad.
The are you going to read it question does not apply.
Not apply. So
Josh, what was your rating, Josh?
Three. I'll go with three.
Okay. All right. There you go.
All right, so that's our rebirth section. There's another one next week. Looking forward to that. So now we get on to the patron section. Every week, if you're a patron at patreon.com/ifanboy, you can vote for a book to include on the show. And this week, the sadists that I like to call the patrons voted for Justice League / Mighty Morphin Power Rangers #1. And
so it's a low blow.
So a couple of years ago, geez, now nearly like 10 years ago or so, maybe a little more, a movie came out that I believe the three of us discussed, and we identified as the line in the sand in the beginning of the generation gap.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about. Continue.
And that movie was Napoleon Dynamite, where all the kids were loving it, and I watched it, and I was just like, this is fucking stupid. And I would gladly put the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in the content bucket of the properties that exist in the generation gap that I just didn't exist, my life would not change a single bit.
We're about 10 years too old for the Power Rangers. Yep. This is a younger man's game. I never watched a single episode of it. I don't know anything about them.
And we were late teenagers, cuz my brother's 8 years younger than me, and like this was kind of his era. And I remember going, that looks stupid. And all the words that they're saying are stupid.
Yep. And like, and there's some, like, I don't like their mouths. Like, they've got these helmets on and these masks, and they have these molded mouths. And it's just like, it's creepy. It's Japanese influenced. And not that Japanese is bad, but it's foreign to me, and it's just not comfortable. Yeah. And it's just, and the whole thing, Megazord, like, it just.
There you go. That's the stupid words.
Right? Yeah.
You don't like the pterodactyl dinosaur power?
Right.
So
yeah.
All of that being said, we are not unbiased sources. We're probably not good people to ask. I mean, this is not dissimilar to, like, at a certain point, like, people kept asking us to read Transformers comics, and we had to just be like, we don't care.
Right.
Well, that's like different, because we were Transformers kids. That was like,
I know, but you know that there hasn't been one single Transformers comic book that has come out, even the ones that was like, oh, well, that Megatron one, that's for big people.
Yeah.
Like, they've all, like, they are what they are.
I mean, listen. Given our loyalty to the G.I. Joe,
yeah,
I can't trash
Transformers too hard.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna trash
like with those comics,
right?
Like they're not gonna be for us,
right?
Maybe I don't know. I'm not prepared to say that.
I've been at this for over a decade, and it's and all right, fine. On a scale from Electro to Transformers comics.
So this is written by Tom Taylor, who wrote a lot of those Injustice comics. The DC.
I like Tom Taylor. Doesn't he also write in the Wolverine that I like?
I think so.
What I did like about this book was it really thrust you into the story and didn't do a lot of handholding.
Thrust.
However, most of it was about the Power Rangers, so I didn't know what the hell was going on for most of this comic.
Yeah, Tom Taylor writes Wolverine. It was so much Power Rangers. I'm like reading this, and I'm just like, this goes against our ethos at iFanboy, and we want to be critical, and you don't like something. So as I'm turning the pages, I'm like, this is stupid. this is just stupid. And the thing is, I see people online going nuts for it. So clearly there's an audience, and I get it. I understand it. And I'm sure there are things I go nuts for that they don't understand, and that's fine.
I'm positive they're all.
Yeah. It's typical. You know, something happened there. There's some guy in a mask is they're mad at, and then he hops dimension and he takes one of them away, and they hop into the DC universe and they see Batman and they fight. Like, it's like as
it was
by the numbers.
Yeah. By the numbers. Yep, exactly. And I don't know if that's because Boom doing the Power Rangers comics and DC doing the Justice League comics, the getting the two companies to work together, and then you got to deal with Time Warner or Warner Brothers or whatever, and then you got to deal with whoever the fuck owns the Power Rangers. I don't know, with Saban. Who owns that?
Yeah,
yeah. I was going to say.
So, whatever. It was just like as by the numbers crossover as it gets.
So there you go, patrons. You made us read a thing pretty much for spite.
Yeah, and we did it. We did it.
I want to make a quick note. So people have been asking to see like the full list of votes, and we haven't figured out a good way to do that if we ever will. But this is the top vote getter by a wide margin. But the second vote getter was God Country number one from Image Comics, and then tied for third was The Rift number one and Lobster Johnson Garden of Bones. So those are the four top voted votes.
You know, no, we can do. Let's and this is completely we shouldn't be doing this on air, but who cares? Let's take that information. Let's just post it on Patreon for the patrons on the day that we're like the day after all voting is locked. Be like, this is the patron pick, and here were the top five vote getters or something all like right. that.
We'll do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
So cool. There you go. So thanks, patrons, for voting. If you want to be,
I'm not going to thank them for that.
If you want to vote,
I will thank them for being patrons.
Put in the show. You can go to patreon.com/ifanboy. You can also, when you do that, Ron, what happens to them?
Well, you get the wonderful, just the gift, the treasure of being bestowed with a superpower. It might be a useful superpower. It might be a dumb superpower. But either way, you will now have your place in the pantheon of heroes. And we want to thank our first patron, Steve Morey. And Steve Morey, he's I'm gonna give this. I like to do the one word power.
Mm-hmm.
Absorbent.
Carry on.
Steve Morey is his body. He looks normal.
But he ain't.
But he ain't. His skin is actually a sponge, and he can absorb water, wine, any sort of thing, cleaning up any messes. He can all that sort of stuff. He's just the living sponge.
So does he expand when he absorbs the liquid? Like a sponge?
No.
Is it stored?
No.
No,
it's transported to another dimension, or the matter is changed.
He absorbs it, and it just kind of sucks in like the way we suck in water.
So
can you
wring him out? I'm not saying he has the properties of a sponge physically. I'm just saying I'm asking Josh's question in a different way. Is the liquid in his body, and can it then be wrung out?
Yeah, then it's slow. Then it's absorbed. No, he's not like his body isn't a sponge. Like he's not like squishy and then become damp and that sort of thing. But then, so you can't like twist his arm and water comes out. But he absorbs it and then it gets sucked into his system and gets processed. And
is there a volume limit?
He can't drain a pool. Yeah, so it's like,
does he have to pee a lot?
It's within. Yeah, I mean that's a sad byproduct. Yeah, so
yeah, he needs that. He can't. You don't want to sleep in a room with that guy because he'll drain it of all the humidity.
So is he, is, he, Is he always really well hydrated and has like super great skin because he's like constantly absorbing it liquid?
Well, yeah, but I mean, if he's absorbing that liquid, then yeah, the right liquids, yeah.
If he absorbs something that's lead based, is he going to get sick?
Probably, yes. Okay, move on.
So does he get drunk from absorbing alcohol?
Yes, he can. Yeah, alcohol does affect him, so he's got to be careful. He can't just absorb up a whole, you know, spilled beer or a six pack or something. So
you know what? I could go down this road for a long time. Let's move on.
I know you could. Let's move on.
Now, part of me thinks we did this before, but that just might be my terror that I'm going to keep saying that. So please feel free to stop me. Jarrett Gossett can pick the best piece of fruit.
See, now, I don't know if you saying that makes me think we did it before because you said it or because we actually did it.
Yeah,
it feels familiar.
When you go into the supermarket, this is my thing about oranges.
I feel like we've had this discussion about avocados, but go ahead.
An orange is great or terrible, and there's no way to know. Jarrett knows.
Okay.
Does he have to touch
don't buy
it to
those
know,
oranges.
Or does he just know, like, is it like a telepathy thing?
You know, I can't tell you about the wonder of how it works. I don't think that there's a supernatural element for sure, but I think that there are factors going on that most of us can't detect. And for whatever reason, he has the ability to detect those factors. He's gonna, oh, that orange is dried out and nasty and not sweet. You don't want it.
You know, I'm searching our patron spreadsheet here for the word fruit. I'm not getting it, but we haven't sold out most of the powers. So.
Oh wait, here we go. I did a power. Way back in the beginning, episode 551, David Giza has the power to tell if any food is spoiled.
Not the same.
Not the same exactly, but close. It's in the family. They can hang out and talk.
It's in the family, yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
but it's not the same because an apple can be perfectly ripe, but just mealy.
Yeah.
And mealy
mouth.
I had one of those the other day. I spit it out. It was awful.
It is so disappointing because you'll go and you'll buy a bunch of fruit and you'll be like, if it's good, and then I get worried about it. I don't buy oranges anymore because I just don't know. It's 50-50.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Good stuff.
Red Rum Theater and
I feel like that's not his real name.
I feel like it's not his real name, and I should have had some sort of murder-based power because I thought of the power before I saw the name. But Red Rum.
I can find his real name.
I looked in Patreon and didn't have a name attached to it, but.
Nailed him something, so I must have. All right, keep going, and I'll see if I can find his real name.
Well, his power is that he turns translucent.
Okay.
Doesn't turn invisible.
Just translucent.
Just translucent.
In case for some reason you need some light to show through.
Yeah, just some. So.
I like that one.
So a lot of times when we say things, it's pretty easy to connect them with whatever it is we've been thinking about in our lives. And also knowing each other's personality. However, in this case,
no, I just thought it'd be funny.
I kind of want to know where that came from.
Red Rum Theater's real name is Ernesto Alanez. So that is not his real name. So Ernesto is translucent.
Ernesto turned translucent. Now, nothing was going on in my life. I just was in the shower, and I was thinking of powers today, and I thought, well. At first I thought, you know what? I'm not going to go through the whole process. I don't want to pull the curtain back.
It works like this. He says, hey, hand me that flashlight. Why, Ernesto? Let me show you something. Oh, look at that. You're semi-translucent.
Right through his hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So in our last patron, we want to thank is Kurt Koenig, or Koenig, depending on how you pronounce it. And Kurt, I mean, this is a power. It could also be a curse. It could be a blessing. Who knows? But Teddy Roosevelt is living inside his head.
Also Theodore. Carry on.
Yeah. So Theodore Roosevelt, the former president and hero of San Juan Hill, he's dead, but his consciousness is inside Kurt's head, just similar to kind of like Firestorm.
Okay. Hold on. I have questions.
Okay. Sure.
So he can hear everything that Roosevelt says.
Oh yes. Yeah. No.
What? Are you aware of Roosevelt's personality?
Yes.
That's why it's funny.
That would be quite challenging.
Oh, no. It's loud.
And opinionated.
He's the mansplainer.
Right. That's why I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing or what, but former President Teddy Roosevelt is inside Kurt's head.
It's Theodore.
Also interesting, I recently visited the city, the Museum of the City in New York, and they've got a wonderful exhibit on the history of New York City. It's called Core New York or whatever. And they had a little thing where you put up to your ear and you could hear Teddy Roosevelt giving a speech. And his voice is not what you think it sounds like.
It's much higher pitched than you would
think.
Well,
hold on. The way they recorded audio back then made everybody sound more higher pitched than they actually were.
No, but it was a higher tenor voice. It's just like it's described that way historically, not just in recordings. Like it was. Yeah. He was an irritating human.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Does he have access to books? Because that was his thing. He would read constantly and then talk to you about it.
Well, yeah, so, Kurt. I mean, he's yelling at Kurt going, I want to read. Let's read a book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Josh would be like, this is great. And then after about 3 hours, he'd be like, someone stick an ice pick in my head.
You don't want it.
So there you go. I'm sorry, Kurt, but say hi to TR for me. Bully! so you can get your own superpower or super
curse.
Go to Patreon.com. Like,
let's go out and go hunting. I don't want to. Let's go. Let's get blooded.
To my shotgun. Let's. Kurt just has this weird draw to Oyster Bay for some reason. All right, so go to Patreon.com/iFanboy where you can sign up and get your own award. So or a power.
All right, so this week, this is where on the show, the part we normally do a couple of listener emails. But anyone who follows me on Instagram knows that last week I finally watched Suicide Squad. I got it on Netflix. And Ron was like, we have to talk about this. And so I watched it. And I was like, we have to talk about this. We decided let's just do it on the show real quick, even though Ron and Mike Roma already did a special edition podcast on it. It's not going to be long, just a few minutes on the movie. It was a disaster, Ron.
Yeah, I mean, the main reason why we want to do this is because you due to scheduling, you missed the movie. Me and Mike talked about it, and everybody always like, oh, I can't wait till Connor sees it. I can't wait till Connor sees it. So you saw it. So first, let's walk through this. So the movie came out in August, right?
Yeah.
And so here we are now, 4 or 5 months later. Why now, Connor?
Well, because it just came out on Netflix this past week.
Okay, so the DVD came out, and you're like, all right, now I'm going to watch it. Like, you're like, I've been waiting for this moment.
Well, I figured I had to see it, right? I mean, it's everyone's constantly asking me. So, A, that'll get that to stop. And B, you know, it's a Super Suicide Squad movie with Batman in it.
Right.
I'm not going to not see it eventually, so I might as well. I wasn't going to wait till it came out on HBO. So... it struck me that it was very similar. Well, first of all, you know, we know the general structure of the DC movie universe is just completely screwed from foundational level. So we were watching Batman v Superman on our office TV as a form of punishment the other day in our office. We have a bunch of TVs with Apple TVs attached to them, so we put it on HBO Go. We just turned it on and had it playing in the background. Occasionally, you hear people go, "Ah."
I like the idea of form of punishment, like, oh, you didn't get that report done in time, you have to watch Batman v Superman. Yeah.
But the tone of it is just so wrong. And we had such high hopes, if you recall, of this movie because of the trailers. And it felt very similar to Rogue One in that there was clearly another movie shot and they chopped that movie to hell. And put this one out. Like, it didn't really even make sense from a storytelling standpoint. Whole scenes or sequences seem to be missing. There were things I liked. I thought, as everyone said, Margot Robbie was a really good Harley Quinn. I liked Jai Courtney's Captain Boomerang, and I liked even Will Smith's Deadshot. But everyone else I could have cared less about.
It's interesting. So you liked Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. You thought it was good?
Yeah, I liked her as well. I mean, she's that sort of New 52 version of her. It's not that, you know, we did see her at one point really quickly in the traditional Harley suit, but, you know, as an actress playing a character, I thought she was compelling on the screen, and I thought she was interesting, the most interesting part of the film.
I think she stole the screen when she was on it. Yeah, yeah.
But. Jai Courtney's Boomerang made me laugh, and so I gave a lot of credit because there wasn't a lot going on that made me happy in the movie. The best joke was the one that was in the trailer when he popped out of the bag and punched the guard really fast. That was still very funny.
Here's my problem with Boomerang. I got two problems with Boomerang. Yeah. One we talked about when we were texting about it, which was I'm still annoyed at the you know, after all the shit goes down and they're in the bar and they're kind of, you know, and they're, you know, and they're like, oh, they're free to go. And so he bails and then they decide they're going to finish this, and they leave the bar, and then he's just back with the team with no explanation whatsoever.
That's not his character problem. They just chopped sequences out of the movie.
Well, yeah. Well, I can resolve that by, oh, he's a boomerang. Right. So, okay.
Ayo.
But then my other problem with Captain Boomerang is that in the climax of the movie, and I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast. I realized this after we did the podcast. They to defeat the fucking dumb bad guy, which I'm going to get your opinion on, Connor.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to throw something, and then someone's got to shoot it. And so you've got the one guy on your team where all he does is throw things, but instead you give it to the crocodile guy to throw it. I didn't understand that at all.
But. Yeah.
He literally, all he does is throw things.
You think fairly accurately, too.
I
don't know that Killer Croc's doing a lot of tossing down in the sewers.
Killer Croc was not good.
Everything else was pretty bad. The main villain, Enchantress, and that whole story, like, made no sense. And
bad.
I did not care. And the way that model turned actress who was playing it was weird. But it was also, I didn't understand the motivation. I didn't understand why anything was happening on the screen. I didn't understand anything that was, I felt like they had a real problem on their hand. They chopped it all to hell to get it out, and it didn't make any sense. And I'm not even talking about the Joker, because I don't even know if I'm emotionally ready to talk about the Joker.
You know what? I realize I haven't heard anybody talk about the Joker.
No. It was completely forgettable.
It's best left untalked about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It hurt my soul.
I don't mean that it's forgettable in that it's like bad or it's not compelling. Whatever. It's forgettable in that you just don't want to think about it. You just want
to
move on.
In order to survive.
Yeah.
In order for me to get through the day, I have to not think this is going to be the Joker for the next 10 years in the movies.
Let's not talk about it.
It was offensive on almost every single level. And again, much like I know you guys talked about this, I think, on the show, because I haven't listened to it yet because I didn't want to spoil my discussion here, but he had a much more robust role in the film, and it was just chopped all to hell. So he ended up not meaning anything. You could have easily removed every scene involving the Joker, and it wouldn't change the movie one bit. Now, I say that saying there was really nothing to change. There wasn't really a plot that was coherent at all. But you could have. He literally had no impact on the storytelling. He wasn't really a factor in the movie. It was just all very weird.
It was just
a dumb movie. And it makes me angry that these people are making all of these movies. I mean, they just announced Green Lantern Corps with basically the same creative team behind it. And it's just like, well, what do you think is going to change here?
Yeah. Maybe the costume.
Probably one of those actors isn't going to come back, and they'll replace them with another actor.
Yeah.
See, the concept of the Suicide Squad is a good one. And it was interesting that they made this film that does not really star any of the main characters that people know. And that was interesting as an idea. But the execution was terrible. The Flash cameo was fine.
What about the Batman cameo?
The Batman cameo was fine.
Right, it was fine. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being Electro and 10 being Burton Batman, where would you put this?
So is Electro good or bad in this case?
I love Electro. I don't know. I don't know why he's 1.
Well, you should put 1 being Electro and 10 being Batman v Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
I would put it as 9.
9?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'd put it as an 11. I thought it was worse than Batman v Superman.
Wow. All right. So, you think this is worse than
Batman? Had elements in it that were good. It had Wonder Woman. I thought the Batman stuff, Batman Superman, wasn't terrible, but I find hardly anything redeeming about Suicide Squad.
Right.
Other than, Will Smith is charming. Will Smith is Will Smith.
But he was Will Smith. He wasn't Deadshot. You know what I mean?
He was good in the movie. He was like, I'm grasping for things to find compelling on the screen. And Will Smith.
Well, I thought it was an interesting choice for him to resurrect his character from Wild Wild West.
I never saw that movie.
Well, yeah, but with the cowboy hat and the whole thing,
it was like a 70s black exploitation. Yeah,
whatever.
But anyway, it was a terrible, terrible movie. I took the disc out of the player, I put it back in the envelope, I crossed myself, and I sent it back on its way.
You should have taken the disc out of the player and broke it and just cut it up into pieces and sent it back to them.
Well, the indignity would have been
brought this upon yourselves.
I would have cut my hand up and owed them money, so that would have been the final indignity for the.
Why did you let me watch this, you bastards? You should be looking out for me.
When I selected, they should have been like, really? You sure we don't want Florence Foster Jenkins? And I would have been like, yes, I do.
All right. So that was Suicide Squad. If you want to go back to ifanboy.com and search in the archives, you can hear what me and Mike Roma thought of it originally in the summer and compare that to what Connor said. My fear was that you're going to come back and just be like, you know, it was redeeming. And you guys were just hard on it.
It was a terrible movie.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. We can remain friends.
All right. Good.
So. All right. Well, if you're looking for another podcast to listen to beyond this and beyond the Suicide Squad review, why don't you check out my latest podcast over at Damn Fine Podcast, damnfinepodcast.com, where me and Tom Merritt are revisiting Twin Peaks and enjoying the show leading up to the premiere of season 3 that's coming this May. Very exciting. The news just broke and we're all very excited and worried. Connor was on episode 7. We're gonna have him back to talk more about season 2 as we're gonna kick off season 2 this coming Wednesday. So do check that out. Go to damnfinepodcast.com, and thanks to everybody who's checked it out so far.
You can also look forward to our patron reward Booksplode podcast, alternate with the Talksplode podcast, the book review versus interview show. This month coming up, later in the month, we're gonna be talking about, and I'm gonna tell you the book ahead of time so you can read it, Russian Olive to Red King. Graphic novel by Stuart and Catherine Immonen that we are all going to have read and discuss. So you should read it too and come along for our little Booksplode, truly book club, isn't it? Yeah. Episode.
Russian Olive to Red King.
Olive to Red King.
So that gives you time to go to Amazon via the link on ifanboy.com, buy it, read it, and then you can listen to what we think about it.
None of us have read it, so it's going to be one of those, like the last one, where we don't know what we're getting into until we get into it.
Yeah. We're excited.
I leafed through it, and it looks great.
It looks gorgeous.
The art. Yeah. I don't know. I can't speak to the story. Another patron reward. This one's for patrons only. Is the patron hangout, and that's where the three of us get together for an hour once a month and babble on about nonsense. And this month, the patron hangout, the January patron hangout, will be January 30th, right under the wire, Monday night, as per usual. We'll put the times out there on our social media accounts once we have. It's probably the same time as normal, 6 p.m. 6:30 p.m. Western time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, but that's probably going to happen. But January 30th, for your patron, circle that calendar 30th. Date. January 30th yep. For the patron hangout.
Will be a fun time. The last one was a blast. So
what will we talk about this time?
Who knows? Maybe some more holiday movies.
I'm fine with that.
Why not? Head over to ifanboy.com where you can find all the links to our previous podcasts, as well as links to the Patreon and all the other fun stuff there. If you're on social media, you can follow us. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/ifanboy and on Twitter at ifanboy. And you can follow those to find out what the pick of the week is every week before the show comes out. So you have a little insider track so you know what book you definitely need to read before you listen on Sunday when the show comes out. And if you're looking for more amusement, you can follow us individually on Twitter and on Instagram. Josh is at J.A. Flanagan, Connor's at C.S. Kilpatrick, and I am at Ron XO.
And finally, if you like the show or any podcast like Damn Fine Podcast or any podcast to listen to, write a review on iTunes. That's how people find podcasts. That's how it helps bubble the shows to the top, the more reviews they get. So if you write a review or even just leave a star rating, that'll take you 2 seconds, literally. And we appreciate that. Every show that works hard to bring you content appreciates the feedback. So thank you very much.
We're nothing without you, the listeners. So, well, I mean, we're something, but we're...
I'm a man!
In this context, you define us.
This week, a little bit jerks about getting us to read that Power Rangers book. But other than that... We love you.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. So.
It's blowback from last week's like perfect choice for me.
Well, there's a contingent that votes for a book that they're interested in us talking about, and there's the contingent that wants to talk about a book we're going to hate because they enjoy that. So
my big problem is people on Twitter who are saying, "Ooh, they should talk about this," that aren't patrons. Like, if you're not a patron, you don't get to play in this game. So, yeah.
Wow, that got kind of raw.
It did. All right, so let's wrap it up. Until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Josh.
He's a man.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.